Unofficial Rosie by Alan MacDonald. A serial in 6 episodes. With Paula Wilcox as Rosie. Episode 5. Count Your Blessings.
Hitman.
Yeah.
Only like me brain.
You what?
It only hurts when I remember it's there and try to swing it into action.
Was it him that broke your arm, the man who came last night?
Andrew Stevenson. Oh, that's what he says he's called.
And was it him, Mr. Stevenson?
No.
He was gonna hit you though, wasn't he, man? That man.
Yeah, I think he was, yeah.
Till I came in.
Till you came in, yeah.
Did I save you then?
Well, you certainly helped.
Are you gonna save me now then?
Well, of course I will, Carol. Save you from what, though?
Save me from ever having to see me dad again.
Oh, Carol. She had saved me, though. From having me other arm broken, maybe. By the man who'd once been me client.
I'm rarely violent myself.
But he'd make an exception in my case. Because I've been sniffing around his girlfriend, Helen Thackeray's flat.
Andrew Stevenson. Name's not familiar.
But she'd been nervous as hell when I mentioned it all the same. So, like I said to Mike, he offered me 250 quid to stop sniffing around and then cut up rough when I gave him his receipt.
Yes, Rosie, and what exactly did you put in this receipt?
Oh, I might have mentioned something about the money being to keep me gob shut about murder or foul play on his
part. I think you should report this to the police.
Yes, Mike.
You're not going to, though, are you?
No, Mike.
Why not, Rosie?
Well,
the man purporting to be your client visits your home, offers you a derisory sum of money for unspecified purposes.
250 quid may be derisory to you.
Gives you a small sum of money, then turns nasty on you. The police ought to be told.
Oh, yeah. So then I remind them what murder or foul play I suspect Andrew Stevenson of. And remember, the busies think he's a figment of my imagination anyway. And they say...
Tommy O'Meara died of a heart attack.
I rest my case.
So what are you going to do?
Well, now that I'm driving again, I could deliver a couple of writs for you. And hope maybe that company search you're doing for
tomorrow? It should be through tomorrow.
Hope that'll point me in the right direction. Actually, I'd already served one writ for him. But even though he's a good mate, and he'd make somebody a real good mate. You know, mate. Because he's dead cuddly as Mike. Despite all that, I thought I'd keep strum about the writ and stay ahead of the game. While I went to talk to Graham about Carol. So, how's the crisps and nuts?
Savoury snacks are being good to me, Rosie.
Yeah, I can see that from your paunch.
What on earth happened to your arm?
It's had an altercation with a door. Eh, you should see the door, though. Ho, 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 ho.
Some bright witticisms.
You should see the door. How does she think them up?
So, what's the problem with Carol?
She never wants to see you again.
What?
Well, of course, I entirely agree with her, actually. But unfortunately...
Every other weekend, Rosie, that's me legal rights.
I'm not arguing about your rights, Graham. I'm just telling you she doesn't want to see you. I'm just asking...
I'm not having you
Graham,
telling me...
Graham, I'm just asking you to try and break the habit of a lifetime by not interrupting me for 1 minute and listen. Because for the sake of peace and harmony, I've come here to try and help us get over the fact that she doesn't want to see you.
Why not?
I don't know. Well, for a start, she says you always do what Bob wants to do.
Well, that's because she sits in the corner and sulks and won't say what she wants to do.
Oh, sort of like you used to be about holidays, eh? It's true, she's dead like him. If she doesn't want to do something, well, you know, she sets her face in reinforced concrete and a pickaxe won't shift her. So, finally, we agreed she'd see Graham on her own on the Friday. But how the hell was I going to explain to her that her never wanting to see her father again was going to be solved by her seeing more of him? I was going to ask Jerry, but he had other conversations in mind.
Time for a celebration.
Hey, what's this?
Champagne.
Oh, God, Jerry, that must have cost an arm and a leg.
It was worth every penny.
Hey, you don't mean...
I got the job.
Oh, that's terrific.
Deputy Head of Marketing, Tourism.
Oh, that's great, but why did you wait till the kids were out of the way? I'll call Carol.
No, Rosie, hang on.
Why?
I've got something else for you.
What?
Well, you see...
The other thing he'd got me came in a little box from H. Samuels. Oh, no, Jerry, don't say.
Now, I'll be earning a lot more money now, so
hey,
I thought...
Hey, just let's drink the champagne and not talk about this.
But you don't know what I was going to say yet.
Yes, I do.
Well, I'm going to say it all the same.
Don't.
But you... I mean, we both... But look, I mean, it's silly, me living round the corner.
I like it that way.
And since you've been made redundant...
I'm your bit of rough, and you're my bit on the side, Jerry. Don't let's mess all that up.
Listen to me, Rosie. You're not getting enough money in even to feed yourself and the kids, and I'm going to be earning enough for all of us.
No.
But it's just not you, is it? Serving writs, getting this crazy obsession about a murder.
No.
So I thought we'd get married. I got you this ring.
Do I put it on my finger or my nose?
What?
To be led around by...
Rosie, I thought you'd be...
Jerry, when you've been married once, it can take you one of two ways. One, you're absolutely desperate to make the same mistakes or maybe a whole lot of similar but different ones all over again. Or two, you'd prefer to be lonely, miserable, penniless and widely regarded as a friggin' loon than ever be trapped in that kind of situation again. Haven't you guessed which one I am by now?
Well, I guess that you're not quite yourself lately with all this... Tommy O'Meara was murdered nonsense.
Nonsense, is it? You know that for a fact, do you?
I know you. I know in your heart of hearts.
You don't know me at all, do you? Eh? Lately, I've been feeling more like myself than I have for years. You haven't got it, have you? I like this private detection business. It's frightening and exciting and I like living on my own.
Ah. That's a no, is it?
No, Jerry. It's not a no. It's a take your ring and your champagne and yourself back round to your place and don't come back. Are you receiving me? His face crumpled up. I wanted to give him a hug then. I didn't. He went. With his champagne. I must have been mad telling him to take that as well. I don't like living on my own. I hate it. I don't know why I said that. Yes, I do know. 'Cause it needled me. He'd assumed that because he didn't approve of my private detection, I didn't approve of it. He'd assumed that just because he makes me want to sing Zippity-Doo-Dah at midnight. Oh, well. Goodbye to all that. Put it out of your mind, Rosie. Catch Carol on her own before Bob comes home. Carol, love.
Hello, Uncle Jerry.
Oh, you've been listening at doors.
I have not. Isn't he coming here again, then?
You have been listening.
Couldn't help it, could I? The whole street couldn't help hearing.
Anyway, love, I wanted to talk to you
couldn't
about...
Couldn't he be your dad, Uncle Jerry?
Carol, love, I've been to talk to your dad, to Graham.
I'm not going.
And what we've agreed
I've
is...
not agreed.
Now, you know me and Graham don't agree about much, but we do agree about this, right? If you go round on your own on Friday night... Carol... Carol, are you listening to me?
I'm not going, Mum.
Oh, I can see Graham's face in her when she's like that. She was still like that next morning.
Hey, Mum, look at this. Mm-hmm. It's a letter. It's not a circular or a red bill.
Might be the Lecky board disguising their final reminder.
No, look. It's in a kind of corny block apples.
Hey, what do you think it is, Carol?
I've not agreed. I'm not going.
What hasn't she agreed to?
Let's just open the letter, shall we, Carol?
No, me. Let me.
Well, what's it say?
It's just a name. Stephen Anderson.
Stephen Anderson? Eureka!
Where does it say Eureka?
It doesn't, but it does say where it's from.
Where? I can't see none.
Aha. It's got the address written in special ink at the top right-hand corner that only I can read. Helen Thackeray, flat 906 Braddock Heights. That's what it says. I'm off there now.
Hey, Mum, can we come?
I'm not going.
Oh, Bob, you know how boring you found it last time. Anyway, I'm not taking you out of school just to find...
Mum, it's still our turn.
So it was. So I had to parcel Bob off to his mate Jason's and persuade Carol she really wanted to go round to her Auntie Debbie's this morning. Guess what she said? Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going.
Still, I managed to get her dressed and out the house. And there was this ghostly apparition sat on the doorstep.
Jerry.
Rosie.
Jerry, you look awful.
Couldn't sleep a wink. Look, I just wanted
not
to
now,
say...
Not now, eh?
I love you.
I love you too, Uncle Jerry.
Thank you, Carol.
I want you to be my daddy.
Jerry, we'll talk about this later, eh? Not well... later, eh? Come on, Carol.
I want to be Jerry.
So, I left Jerry on the doorstep, and Carol wouldn't go to her Auntie Debbie's, but wouldn't speak either. So at least that allowed me to concentrate on Stephen Anderson. Andrew Stevenson reversed, more or less. My client's real name? Maybe I'd get confirmation at Braddock Heights.
I'm not going.
Oh, Carol, love, you can't stay here while I'm up on the ninth floor.
I mean, what if I can handle myself? Didn't I save you from that man who wanted to hurt you?
Well, yeah, but that's different.
I won't. I'll be all right.
So I tried not to think about what ifs and knocked at flat 906. No reply. Flat 905, flat 907, no joy. At flat 904 opposite, which bore more than a passing resemblance to Fort Knox, the door finally opened a crack on the chain.
What are you selling?
I'm not selling anything.
No, God. Do not talk to me about God. I am atheist.
Oh, no, well, I used to be agnostic, but now I'm not so sure.
I have studied, however, the beliefs of Krishnamurti.
Look, I'm looking for Helen Thackeray, flat 906.
Yeah.
She does have a sort of Chinese look to her.
Not in. Out.
Oh, right. You see, it is rather urgent.
Moved out. She moved out yesterday.
Wouldn't have had a man helping her, would she? Fella by the name of Stephen Anderson. 40-ish, kind of tall.
Only removable men take her things.
You don't happen to know where she might have gone?
I know no man. Not her. I know nothing. I hope for nothing. As Krishnamurti
does she have any friends? Any friends in the block that I might
see? Friends? In this hellhole? There are no friends here. Only enemies. Understand, goodbye.
Which is what gave me the inspiration. To drive round the corner to the phone box, and then to be Rosa Monovich.
Police, can I have your full name and address, please?
You're Rosa Monovich, 1313 Braddock Heights.
And what do you wish to report?
I wish to report the disappearance of Helen Thackeray of flat 906 Braddock Heights.
That's disgusting, that is.
I just wanted the police to know.
And it's probably illegal.
Carol, I know I shouted at Bob that time when he was phoning people up out of the phone book, but sometimes...
Sometimes grown-ups shouting at the things they do themselves all the time.
Oh, yeah, well...
Hey, why are we going to town?
We're going for lunch with Mike.
I want to go to my Auntie Debbie.
Oh, but this morning you said...
So, she didn't think much of your performance.
Oh, children have ways of making you feel bad.
I can quite see you as East European.
Oh, yeah. Kind of Rosa Klebb in James Bond.
Yeah, I was thinking more of Julie Christie in Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, my. Flattery will get you most places.
No, it's just you arriving here flushed from the steps.
Flushed from the steps, yeah. And from the two glasses of wine I'd knocked back at the speed of light. I mean... I've always thought Mike was cuddly, but I suddenly thought, if I'd really ditched Jerry, then what if... What if you concentrated on the business in hand, Rosie? So has this search thing on Street Clean come through?
It certainly has. I've got it in my briefcase somewhere. Yeah.
Well, is there a Stephen Anderson on the board of directors?
Jones, William Makepeace.
Oh.
Yes, two Andersons. Dorothy and Stephen, both of the same address.
Oh! Mike, you are an angel.
Hey, okay, I might be the devil in disguise. And who is Stephen Anderson?
Andrew Stevenson as was.
Oh.
My client who made out he was investigating the street clean, but turns out to be running the thing himself. And you are wonderful. And even though I've given Jerry his marching orders, I'm really happy.
You did, Jerry?
He thinks I'm a friggin' loon, but you don't, do you, Mike?
No,
You've always believed in me. You know, that's been really important to me. Hey... Why don't you come round tonight? I'll track down this Stephen Anderson by then and we'll have a little celebration. What do you say?
Oh, I'd love to, but, I've got to see a friend.
Well, tomorrow night then.
Rosie, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about me.
The wrong idea? Of course not. I mean, it's one of those tricky things, isn't it? When we've known each other for years and only just, like, realised there's something more going on.
Something more going on?
Well, you know, I put my hand on his knee. I gave him a kiss. I was giddy. What's that old-fashioned word for giddy? And why was Mike saying it all of a sudden?
Gay.
That's the word.
My friend that I'm seeing tonight. It's a man.
You're not just giddy, then?
What?
I suppose that's why I feel safe with you, really.
Rosie,
This isn't one of those things that's exactly common knowledge with the partners. I'm sorry if there was any misunderstanding.
So what else do I get out of this search thing?
Rosie.
Then? Well, let's get back to business, okay? Stephen and Dorothy Anderson lived in a posh house in Formby. There was nobody home. Through the glass front door, I could see a few days' worth of mail stacked up. Mike was gay. I decided not to think about that. After all, I had more important things to concentrate on.
He's what?
He's gay. You remember that day we got the flat tire and that fella we were following from in front stopped to help us?
What's that got to do with anything?
Well, I felt the same with Mike as I felt that day. Wishing the ground would swallow me up sort of thing. Hiya, Carol. Good time at your Auntie Debbie's.
All right. I'm not going now.
Not going where, Carol, love?
Only to the kitchen. I'm hungry.
What's going on in this house?
Oh, she's got a cob on.
Never.
Yeah. It's because I agreed with Graham.
You agreed something with Graham? No wonder you're acting peculiar.
Well, they've not been getting on, him and Carol. So I fixed for her to go round there on her own. And now she says... Right on cue.
I'll talk to her.
No, you'll put her off Graham for life.
In your heart of hearts, isn't that what you want?
No, it isn't. Hey, Marg, wait. I'd only asked her to keep an eye on the kids for an hour while I went to talk to Jerry. He kept ringing me up, you see. Crying. Honest, I didn't know whether I was coming or going. I said we'd meet in the park. Neutral ground, I thought. Well, it was only just getting dark, and it wasn't raining too hard.
It's just... I love you, Rosie.
And I'm very fond of you.
It's not the same.
No, it's not the same. That's why it wouldn't be right.
But given time, you might learn to love me.
Jerry, have you been picking up those bills and moons at the checkout again?
See, you're off again.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm sorry. There's just so many things going through my head at the moment.
You and your murder case.
Yeah. Well, I found out the name of the guy that employed me, and it turns out he's the director of the company that's got the contract, and they got the contract because Tommy O'Meara died.
We could have been so happy.
We still can be.
Not the way I imagined it.
No, but the way it is. You round the corner, me being a private eye. You taking me seriously.
I do take you seriously.
Except when you think I'm a friggin' loon for getting obsessed with a so-called murder, right?
We could have been so happy.
Honest, Marg, I couldn't get any sense out of him.
Well, I got loads of sense out of Carol.
He did? How'd you manage that?
I just explained to her that men were inferior beings that had to be dealt with firmly, but unfairly. And she got the point straight away.
Go, Marg, what have you said to her?
You can tell yourself. All right, Carol.
Fine, Auntie Marg.
Got to see a dog about a man.
See you both.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
So? So are you going to see your dad?
No.
Carol, I thought you told your Auntie Marg.
I'm going to see Graham.
Ah, Graham. That fella you used to call your dad.
That's the one. Graham, that's what I'm going to call him.
Oh, I love that.
Will he?
Yeah, I'm sure he will, love.
Well, as Auntie Marg says, he's got rights, and so have I, to be treated as a human being. Auntie Marg sure will be able to reach accommodation.
An accommodation?
That's what I said. Rosie.
Aren't you going to call me Mam anymore?
Maybe, Rosie. You see, Auntie Marg, he says children can divorce the parents nowadays if they want. But first, they ought to give them every chance to be reasonable.
Huh. Must be nice to have someone who can tell you your rights, eh? And what are my rights? The right to ring up my former friend Margie and give her a piece of my mind. Only Margie was still out seeing that dog about that man. It was a relief to get back next day to more trivial questions, like whether a murder had occurred and whether Bill Jones of Street Clean had anything to do with it, if it had happened. I went by train to the decent little place he wanted us to eat in. Turned out to be one of those steakhouses out of the mediocre food guide, where you can be sure, wherever you are in the country, of the same decor, identical waitresses, and the carefully reproduced replica stains on the menu. So I smiled at his boyish smile, and asked for a rump steak, medium rare, and ready sliced for a wounded heroine, and told him I'd broken my arm in the line of duty, and...
So what is your line of duty, Veronica?
Rosie.
Rosie? Don't I know that name?
Monaghan. Rosie Monaghan. The police may have mentioned me name to you.
No, as I remember, they gave me a description of you and I said, Veronica.
Yeah,
and they
well,
said
that's water under the bridge now, eh?
So what is your line of duty, Rosie?
Detective. Private variety. I was, following you that day, see.
when I helped you out with a flat tire?
Yeah.
But you were in front of me.
Well, it's a sophisticated method of following people that us detectives use.
Ah, right. And you were following me because...
Professional confidentiality forbids me to explain any further, Bill. I'm sure you'll understand.
Not exactly, Rosie, no. You followed me. You were at Merseytown Hall that day. Now you're buying me lunch. I'd like to know why, really.
Oh, remembered you had a lovely tight bum on you, that's all. Thought I'd like to see it again.
That's true what they say then, eh? That's what women go for. And here's me wasting my life developing my natural boyish charm.
Buying him lunch? When did I say I'd do that? When the steak came, it didn't taste so good. I was thinking about how much each slice was costing me. He tucked into his, of course. I waited till he was in mid-mouthful. Shame about Tommy O'Meara dying, wasn't it? Just before the vital meeting.
Cop was after me about that. I don't fight. Guy had a heart attack, right? What's it to do with me?
Didn't do your company any harm, did it? Him dying like that, when one vote made all the difference.
I thought you might bring that up.
Somebody told you I might, did they? Stephen Anderson, for instance.
Look, Rosie, I just came up here to chat up the political leaders, so I did that. Gave them a prospectus, helped a woman mend a flat tyre, because I'm generous that way. Then I went back home, right?
But your friend Stephen went to see some of them again. Tommy O'Meara, for instance. Stephen Anderson went to see him the day before he died.
That's not what I heard.
I followed him there.
What is it with you? Why are you making up these stories about Steve?
What? Why would I, eh? What possible reason have I got? I'm being straight with you. Is he, though?
Steve's my business partner. I trust him like I would anyone in business, about as far as I could throw him, which is a little bit more than I trust you, Veronica.
And, how's Helen taken all this? Not well, I hear.
Oh, she's been doing some digging around. Do you know where she is, then?
Could do. He's told you all about their relationship, has he? Steve?
Relationship? Come off it. Steve, have it away with his secretary. He's the ultimate till death us do part man, is Steve.
Maybe you don't know him as well as you think.
And you do, eh?
Well, just as a for instance, what if I was to tell you that it was him who paid me to follow you in the first place?
I'd say your vivid imagination was doing another spell of overtime.
Steve wouldn't be showing much trust in you, would he? If he paid someone...
Hey, let's skip dessert and just have some coffee, eh?
I wanted to skip coffee and have a think about what I'd learned. Bill Jones didn't seem to want to hang about, either.
Thanks for the lunch, Rosie. Hey. And, look, I'm just a businessman, right? No more, no less. Whatever old Steve's been up to. Ta-ra now.
So... maybe he decided he might not know Stephen Anderson as well as he thought, after all. And having sown a bit of dissension in the ranks, I sat on the train and tried to concentrate on what I'd learned. There wasn't time. There's never time to think. I was due at the pub to meet Martin Bullivant at 7. And before that, I had to get Jennifer from over the road to babysit, because I'd forgotten to arrange anything in advance. Then I had to fork out for a taxi to get Carol to her dad, so she wasn't going to call her dad anymore.
Uncle Jerry came round while you were out.
Oh, that's all I need.
He was on his way to the chess club. He said to be my dad if I wanted.
Oh, that was nice of him.
But only if you agreed, and you wouldn't, he said.
Hey, Carol, go easy on you. Take it slow with Graham, eh? He might find it a bit hard to be called by his first name and told about your rights and everything straight off.
Well, if he doesn't like it, he can lump it, can't he?
Well, that's the sort of thing I mean, Carol. I've tried that sort of line with him myself, and it really goes down. But, just here, mate. Second on the right.
So you found out who this Andrew Stevenson fella is? You know, the one that employed you in the first place.
Yeah, his name's Stephen Anderson. You know him?
He used to be one of the bosses at Mersey City. A right creep. Right-wing bastard.
He told me he was one of the caring, incorruptible liberals of our time.
Yeah, well, him and Margaret Thatcher both then.
Anyway, it turns out they're all on the board of this street clean outfit. Jones and Anderson and his wife.
Oh, poacher turned bloody gamekeeper, eh?
Yeah, so him and Bill Jones are bosom buddies. Well, were until I turned up.
But didn't he employ you to follow this Bill Jones?
Yeah, and you know what? Jonesy didn't know that till I told him.
Well, maybe he was having you on.
No, I think he's straight, Jonesy, in a crooked sort of way. And Helen Thackeray, did I tell you about her?
No, I don't think so.
Well, she lived in this flat in Braddock Heights. I followed Mr. Anderson too. She was his secretary. Bill Jones said there was no chance Anderson would be having an affair with her, but it looked like he half lived at her place to me.
So have you tracked down where this Anderson lives?
Yeah, but he seems to be away at the moment. And he's not at Helen Thackeray's place, but now she's disappeared.
And you really think these guys might have killed Tommy O'Meara to get the contract?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I think he'd really stumbled onto something,
Martin,
you know.
Martin, you've really picked the wrong moment to put your hand on mine.
What? What's up?
Rosie.
Jerry, this is Martin. Martin, Jerry.
So, this is what it's about, is it?
But I thought you were at the chess club, Jerry.
Well, evidently. All that...
Have you been drinking?
One or two. All that crap about wanting me to carry on living round the corner, and all the time, you've got somebody else.
Oh, Jerry, it's not like that.
Look, Marlon.
It's Martin.
Well, whatever your name is, why don't we sort this out outside?
Jerry, you're a new man. New men don't sort things out outside.
Hey, look, why don't you just get off?
Oh, no, don't go, for God's sake. Tell me I'm dreaming. Tell me. Here comes my ex-husband.
The babysitter said I'd find you in the pub with your men friends.
Oh, no, really.
So what's this nonsense you've been indoctrinating my daughter with?
Our daughter, Graham, our...
I'm not having it. I'm telling you, I'm not having it. We'll be back in court about this. And in the meantime...
Hey, don't speak to Rosie like that.
Gerald, dear boy, this is no business of yours.
Hey, you two, give it a rest, eh?
And what business is it of yours? Rosie, I've left Carol with the babysitter and I never
shut
want
up,
to...
Shut up, Graham.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
Oh, come on.
Oh, shut up, all of you. Graham, I'll see you in court. Jerry, I'll see you when I see you. Martin, I'd like a pint of lager, please. That's how the speech went, in my imagination. Here's how it went on. I'll have you know, all of you, that I am on the threshold of solving a murder, and all you can bother me about is your trivial little problems. Well, stuff the lot of you. I never said it. Here's what I really said. If you'll excuse me, I've just got to go to the ladies. And I sneaked out the back door and ran home. And I could tell Carol was really upset, because she was letting Bob comfort her. And finally I got them all settled, and settled down myself to count me blessings. One. Nobody had breathed heavily down the phone at me for days. Two. No, Rosie, don't underestimate yourself. You've got two wonderful children and lots of unsuitable men friends one way or another. And anyway, that was all true, that imaginary speech back in the pub. You are on the threshold of solving a murder. I don't care what they say. I'll show the bastards.
In episode 5 of Unofficial Rosie by Alan MacDonald, Rosie was played by Paula Wilcox, Carol by Helen Roberts, Bob, Dominic Groundsell. Jerry was played by Christopher Bramwell. Mike by Steve Hodson. Margie, Elizabeth Estensen. Martin Bullivant, Paul Barber. Graham, David Thorpe. Bill Jones, Dominic Letts. Andrew Stevenson, really Stephen Anderson. Tim Wall. Helen, Rachel Atkins. And the old woman, Diana Payan. Unofficial Rosie is directed by Tracy Newman.